You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
What an honor and privilege to be here this morning. And before I start, I've wanted to start in so many ways today. But the scripture is just resonating in my heart over and over again, and that's in Revelation 22, verse 17, where it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And then let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost." The Spirit and the bride say, come. Lord Jesus, I thank you that even as I share this morning, Father, that I will decrease, Father, everything about me will decrease, Father, that you can increase. Lord, every beautiful word, every beautiful thing that I could say could only come from your heart, Father. And any change that comes could only come by your Spirit. Thank you, Father, that even as I preach this morning, even as I speak from your word, may I give it the honor that it deserves, Father. May I bring a message of hope to your people, Father, but a message that will challenge the heart. As you've challenged my heart, Father, you've challenged my heart to come closer, to come deeper, to walk a different path in 2026, Father. I pray, Lord, let your will be done today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. My sermon topic this morning is fix your heart on Jesus. Jesus is coming for a loyal, devoted bride. A bride who wants everything wholesome and pure. A bride who gave up her name for him. In this last season, you know, we've done many weddings, and one of the things that we saw is that the bride would give up her name for the groom. God is coming for a bride who gives her language to him. Do you sound like the bride of Christ when you speak? A bride who is intimate with him and one who desires him. A bride who has not outgrown her need for him. A bride who knows she cannot buy time. She can only buy oil. Amen. So God is coming for a bride who doesn't just want what he gives. She wants him. Amen. A bride who doesn't just want his house, she wants his hand. A bride who knows her need for him. Amen. A bride who is not coming with excuses. A bride who yields her life over and over again. God is coming for a bride that isn't lukewarm, but burns for him. Amen. A bride that does not sit on the fence and wonder whose heart has her hand. A bride who opens the door when her groom is knocking to come in. A bride who declares, "Satisfy me in the morning, Lord, that I might rejoice in you all day." Amen. A bride who talks like Jesus talks, who walks like Jesus walks, who thinks like Jesus thinks. Can I tell you the bride that Jesus is coming back for? He's coming back for a bride that drips with oil flowing from her first love for him. Amen? A bride that has a revelation of the wounds that her groom carries. Do you have a revelation of the wounds your Jesus carries? A bride without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. A bride who does not love her life unto death. A bride who finds his eyes in the secret place. Are you a bride that finds your groom's eyes in the secret place? Your king's eyes in the secret place? A bride who is ravished by the beauty of heaven. We often sing, "My beloved is the most beautiful among thousands upon thousands upon thousands. I am his and he is mine." You see, God is looking for a bride who loves his heart more than his hand. A bride who loves him even when she did not get her miracle. in 2025, you might not have got your miracle yet. That should not alter your love for him, because your love is not based on his hand. Your love is based on his heart. Amen. God is looking for a bride who knows that she's only clean because of the blood of Jesus. She's only washed because of the blood of Jesus. She's only new because of the blood of Jesus. A bride who is more excited to see the groom than to see the wedding. We were at many weddings. Sakina, when she saw Benny, she was not looking at the decor in the building. She did not care what we looked like. She did not care what my husband looked like. She just wanted to say, I do. Is that your heart this morning? Is your heart, I do? Are you coming into the house looking at the decor to see what your groom can give you? This is a challenging word this morning, church, because you see, God is coming for a bride who is a worshiper. And worship only begins when you stop thinking you need to worship. Worship is not about looking at the clock and saying, we have 30 minutes, we need to land the set now. What if the Holy Spirit wanted us to sing for 2 hours? How many would be left in this building? What if God said at 9 a.m., I have a promise that I will give you. If you are not yet at 9 a.m., you don't get it. Because you see, worship starts when we enter God's house. We don't invite God into our house. This is His house. This is His platform. We don't invite God onto the platform as a team. This platform belongs to God. We are privileged to come into His house. God is looking for a bride who responds to the little nudges. You know that little nudge? Ugh, that wasn't so nice. Maybe you should say sorry. You see, God is looking for a bride who wants to be where the bridegroom is all the time. A bride who wants to look like him and who wants to lay her life down on the altar. A bride who has a heart only for her God. It's not God plus. A bride who loves the word and honors her God week after week, day after day. A bride whose heart is loyal to God. Are you that bride this morning? 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. His eyes are running up and down, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Whose heart is loyal to him. Is your heart loyal to him? If the eyes of the Lord are looking for those whose hearts are loyal, isn't it a great statement to say a loyal heart will fight to be loyal? To have a loyal heart is aggressive. Proverbs 3 verse 3 to 4 says, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. It says, tie them around your neck as a reminder. You want a necklace for 2026? Loyalty and kindness. Loyalty and kindness. Loyalty and kindness. Write them deep in your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people. And you will earn a good reputation. You want to earn a good reputation in 2026? Loyalty and kindness. Amen? You see, from the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, he wanted a loyal heart. You see, he did not make it a robotic default for them to be loyal. Because when he didn't do that and choice was involved, loyalty became valuable. And Adam was content to move on without God. But you know what the beauty of our God is? God was not content to move on without Adam. Are you with me this morning, church? Adam was content to move on without God, but God was not content to move on without Adam. That is why he sent Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus spoke about a loyal heart on the Sermon on the Mount. What does he say? He says, in Matthew 6, verse 24, he says, no one can serve two masters. For either he hates the one and he loves the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You see, we clearly see here that love and loyalty go together. They go hand in hand. They cannot be separated. You cannot love someone without being loyal to them. How do I love my husband without being loyal to him? You see, Mark 12 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Can I just say, in the same way, be loyal with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Do you remember the first day you became born again? I was so excited to serve Jesus. I mean, I grew up in a Christian home. And then when you get your first Bible, what do? You can't wait to highlight that Bible. And let me tell you, purple is a vicious color in a Bible. Can you remember the first time you grabbed your Bible and you just wanted to highlight everything? And you highlighted and you highlighted, and when you turned the page, you couldn't read the next page. Or is it just me that played in that movie? Amen. If it was you, can you shout amen? Amen. Amen. Can you remember the day when you used to come to church without criticizing anything? Because your heart just longed to be with Jesus. And whether we sang the song or we didn't sing the song, or whether the song was too long or too short, or whether we started on a wrong note or we didn't start on a wrong note, you just wanted to be with your King. God wants us to come back to that place. Amen. The path is narrow to heaven. Way large, broad is the path to everything else. What about in 2026? Do you set your heart on being in every single service for 52 weeks? Talk about a loyal heart. I will get up, God, no matter what. If I'm on holiday, I will find a church. If I'm at home, I will find a church. But my heart will remain loyal in 2026. Amen? 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 You see, the Greek word for loyalty comes from a word called antiko. And it actually means to give oneself entirely, to be fully devoted, to hold firmly, and to cleave. Do you hold firmly? Do you cleave to Jesus? You see, biblical loyalty is to hold something so close that there's no room for anything else. Are you holding Jesus so close? So close that there's no room for anything else. Amen? Can I pull it through in marriage, seeing that we've got some married people in the building and we've got a marriage seminar coming up in February? Amen? In marriage, loyalty is to say yes to one another. And by doing this, it means to say no to every other person on the planet. Can I say that again? To be loyal in marriage is to say yes to one person. And by doing this, it means you say no to every other person on the planet. Amen? 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 Amen. You see, loyalty, just like love, is not something you can see. It's intangible. But you know what? You can see it in action. Love in action is the most beautiful thing to see. When you know you have a person's loyalty, you will do anything not to disappoint that person. Is this your heart to God? Will you do anything not to disappoint Him? You see, we have God's unwavering loyalty. In Deuteronomy 7, He says, know therefore that the Lord our God is God. The faithful God who keeps His gracious covenant loyalty for 1,000 generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. How beautiful is that? The bride wants to be like the groom. We as the church want to be like Jesus. If Jesus has a loyal heart, what do we need to do? We need to have a loyal heart. When we say we are loyal to God, it means that we are loyal to His presence. But can I tell you, loyalty is aggressive. Loyalty is aggressive. It is more than a casual interest. It's more than just something sweet that you do. It's an active mindset. Can I say, never sacrifice your loyalty for God for anything? Because a minor loyalty leads to a sacrifice of a major one. Try compromise a little bit and you will see. When you served Jesus in the beginning, you were at every single meeting. You were serving in a team. You were working for Jesus. Nothing was too much for you. And a few years later, you think you've become greater than that. Where has the loyal heart gone to? The loyalty has shifted. It's still there because the heart has to be loyal to something. The loyalty is just on something else. My loyalty can be on my own space. I want to be comfortable. My way, my will, my thoughts. You see, we need to check our loyalty with Jesus first. These 10 words in the Bible actually just gives us a way to ensure that we have a loyal heart. And if you can get these 10 words right in 2026, you'll have a loyal heart. In Psalm 57, verse 7, it says, "My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed." This is a constant frame of mind of being conscious of the presence of Jesus, because he's more real than your next heartbeat. He's more real. My heart is fixed, oh God, my heart is fixed. Can I hear you say that? My heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. Can I hear you say that? My heart is fixed. Oh God. If you take one thing home today, it's this. My heart is. In 2026, what are you going to do? When you deal with your spouse and your children, what are you going to do? When you go into your workspace, what are you going to do? When you come to church on a Sunday, what are you going to do? Let your heart be loyal to him with no room for turning back. Can I tell you something? Our mentor used to say, take control of your heart and give it an assignment. We are giving our hearts an assignment today. My heart is. You see, because if you don't give your heart an assignment, your heart will find something to do. That's why if your loyalty is not with Jesus anymore, it has just shifted because loyalty is there. Are you with me this morning? So keep your heart busy with a word without looking for another assignment. You see, the Bible is God's heart on paper. You want to know how to fix your heart? You want to grow your loyalty? The Bible says, this word speaks of him. In John 5, it says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." You want to know Jesus' heart? Do you want to know your groom? Do you want to know what he expects of you? But you see, if you don't have loyalty, even getting up in the morning and spending an hour with Jesus is too much. Because your loyalty is on lesser things. In the evening, before you touch your phone, touch your Bible. Amen? Can we say that for 2026? Before you open Instagram, the TikTok, or the whatever. I'm not so good with all these social media things. Open the Bible. Because TikTok will not take you to heaven. Instagram will not take you to heaven. Facebook will not make your relationship with Jesus more beautiful. The Word will. Amen? So there's an unspoken disciple in the Bible, and this is where my message is coming to this morning. Philip loves this man in the Bible. His name is Joseph of Arimathea. He's unspoken, but his heart is so loyal to Jesus. Have you heard of Joseph of Arimathea? He's a character in the Bible. The Bible calls him a rich man. He's not a preacher. He's not a prophet. The book of Mark and Luke tell us that Joseph is actually a member of the council. So he's in the Sanhedrin, right? And Joseph is a hero in the Bible because he came into the scene very clearly after Jesus had died. Amen? After Jesus had died and his body was lifeless, Joseph walks into the scene. The body of Jesus isn't raising the dead anymore. It's not opening eyes. He has died. There are no words coming out of the mouth of Jesus. The body is scarred. The body is blemished. It's bloody and it's gory. And Joseph Arimathea comes onto the scene. You see, 1,000 people who had been with Jesus had walked away. 1,000 people who had seen the sunshine of miracles and the feeding of the thousands had gone home. And Joseph walks into the scene. And he steps up, and when nobody's looking, and he doesn't even think of the applause that he needs to hear, he steps up, and I want to read from John 19. Is that okay? So Joseph steps into the scene. Jesus has died. His body is on the cross. And afterwards, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. And when Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfumed oils and ointments made from myrrh and aloes. You see, following Jewish burial, they wrapped Jesus' body in spices and sheets of linen cloth. The place of the crucifixion was near a garden, and there was a new tomb there that had never been used. They say Joseph was extremely wealthy because of the way the tomb was. It wasn't a used tomb, and to have a stone that rolled away in front of the tomb made it a very expensive tomb. So, because they were preparing for the Jewish Passover and the tomb, they took Jesus' body and they laid it in the tomb. So, the story of Joseph of Arimathea took the corpse of Jesus from the cross. His hands became sticky and stained with the blood of Jesus, whose skin was already cold. He touched death. He held it. He wrapped it in preparation for burial. In that moment, Joseph became ceremonially unclean for Passover, all for the dead man. Talk about loyalty. Here's what we miss about the burial of Jesus. Joseph was a wealthy man, a member of the Sanhedrin, a respected Jew, and the Passover was 3 hours away. This was the holiest day of the year. The Jewish law made it clear. That's why we read the Old Testament, right? Touch a dead body and be unclean for 7 days. Are you with me, church? This means that Joseph could not worship, celebrate, or enter the temple once he had touched the dead body. Joseph knew this because he had spent his entire life following these laws. But Jesus was hanging on the cross. Joseph approached Pilate, the man who had just murdered the Lord, and he asked permission. He says, "Can I have the body?" And Pilate says, "Yes." Now Joseph must actually do it. He walks up Golgotha. And you know what? We've been in Israel, and we walked the path that Jesus walked with the cross. It was hard with a backpack. Imagine being beaten and your beard being pulled out and a crown of thorns on your head and a burden on your shoulders, and you must walk that road. Jesus walked it for you. And just like Jesus walked it for Joseph, Joseph walked it for Jesus. Are you willing to walk the path Jesus walked for you? You see, as Joseph walked up to Golgotha, he saw the blood-stained road. He must have smelled the iron in the air. And there he gets to a place where there's three crosses in the sky and Jesus in the middle. There's a deafening silence. And Joseph climbs the ladder and he grabs the first nail. And as he pulls it out, he feels the weight of the moment as Jesus' body falls onto him. The blood isn't dry yet, so it stains his expensive clothes. Are you willing to stain your expensive clothes with the blood of Jesus? Are you willing to climb a ladder and pull out a nail and let the weight of Jesus fall on you? You see, this is what loyalty looks like, because it's messy, it's expensive, and it's permanent. You want to be loyal? It's messy, it's expensive, and it's permanent. Can I tell you something else about this beautiful story? The Bible says Nicodemus shows up, another secret disciple, another member of the Sanhedrin. And you know what he does? He brings 75 pounds of myrrh and aloe. And in today's life, if I have it correctly, architecturally, they say that was up to $150,000 worth of burial spices for a dead man. About 2.7 million rand spices. Two wealthy men, two secret disciples, are now brave. But it's almost too late. They work fast because Passover is coming. It's 3 hours away. They wrap the body, they pour the spices, and they seal the tomb. The sun is setting, and Joseph is now officially unclean. Where is your loyalty? Where is your loyalty, church? In 2026, can we be those that are willing to do the messy, expensive, permanent things for our Jesus? You see, he can't celebrate Passover. He can't even go into the temple for a week. Think about what he gave up. He gave up his ceremonial purity, his Passover celebration. He gave up his reputation because everybody saw him as a blasphemer. His position, the Sanhedrin would never forget this. His safety, Romans might come for him as a disciple next. And we actually know in history that they did actually come for him next, amen? All for a dead Jesus, gone, finished. And we make Christianity so cheap. You see, Joseph didn't do this expecting resurrection. He never knew Jesus was going to stand up from the grave. Jesus was dead. He was gone. He was finished. He didn't do it because he had a faith in a resurrection. This was a love for a corpse. Joseph touched the dead body of Jesus, knowing it meant giving up everything. Not because Jesus promised him anything. Jesus never promised him cars, houses, money, a future. He did it because Jesus deserved honor in death. This is the sign of a loyal heart. You see, Jesus died on the cross. We need to die daily. We need to put our flesh down. We need to put our thoughts down. We need to put our hearts down on the altar and say, God, do what you need to do. Some of us need to pray for a new desire and love for Jesus. We've lost our love. You used to stand in the church with your hands in the air. Now you can't wait for worship to end. Amen? This is a call back to first love. A call back to saying, source of my life, strength of my life, be glorified. Because you sustain, because you are there, just be glorified. Be glorified, be glorified, be glorified. It's a time to come into God's presence and to say, I love you, Lord, and I lift my hands to worship you. Not for anything. Just like Joseph of Arimathea. Just because I have a loyal heart and you are God. And when Adam walked away from you, you decided not to walk away from him. God, every time I decide to walk away from you, guess what? God decides he ain't walking away from you. Amen? Amen? Amen. He will never stop pursuing your heart. He will never stop pursuing you, because that is what love does. And we serve a loyal God who is faithful to his covenant. He said, I'm loyal to my covenant. 2,000 years ago, today, he's loyal to his covenant. You see, modern Christianity wants a clean obedience. Make it easy, God. Make it easy. We want an unsacrificial loyalty. God, I'll do it on my time, as I want to do it, when I want to do it. A safe obedience. God wants an undevoted obedience. A loyalty that doesn't cost you Passover. That's the kind of loyalty we want today. Joseph of Arimathea, it cost him Passover. You want to be a disciple of Jesus, then pledge your life in diligence to God and stop avoiding the messy parts of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. We make it so cheap today. I'll serve God when I'm ready. Oh, it's raining today. I'm staying at home, God. I might get wet coming to the temple. You know what? When you are sick and you can get to the temple, there's healing in the temple. When you need deliverance, get to the temple. There's healing. This is not about us. This is not a Bernard and Belinda temple. This is a house of the Most High's dwelling place. Amen? Amen? And when you walk in here, he's ready. He's ready for you. He's ready to meet you. But he's so gentle. And he's so kind. And he tells us to wrap loyalty and kindness around our neck. That is who Jesus is. He is loyalty and kindness. You walk in here and he waits. The Holy Spirit waits for us to reach out to him. And if you don't, he will just continue waiting. You know, Catherine Kuhlman always used to start her letters with, my dearest Jesus. My dearest Jesus, is that what's written on your heart? Or is it my dearest self and Jesus? My dearest comfort and Jesus? Or is it my dearest Jesus? You see, stop waiting for opportunities. Loyalty and obedience aren't convenient. There's nothing convenient about serving Jesus. You put your head down, you give your heart an assignment, and you be a real disciple of Jesus Christ, not a wishy-washy one. Amen? You see, Joseph climbed Golgotha when everybody else went home. Are you willing to climb Golgotha when everybody goes home? He wrapped a corpse, and he couldn't stay clean. The blood of Jesus stained his clothes permanently. Are you covered in the blood of Jesus, that your clothes are stained permanently? He missed the holiest day of his life to honor a dead criminal. He risked everything when there was no reward. This church is worship. This is worship. The twist is that 3 days later, the tomb was empty. Joseph gave his grave to Jesus and he left it empty. Forever, Joseph thought he was burying God, that he was setting the stage for resurrection. Every single time you choose loyalty, obedience, sacrifice, you set the stage for resurrection in your life. You set the stage for a new beginning in your life. You see, your messy loyalty and obedience will be used by God, and you won't believe what he will do. Here's the question this morning. What are you avoiding because it's too messy? What are you avoiding because it's too messy? What obedience are you postponing because it's inconvenient? What grave are you unwilling to give? We all have graves in our heart. You have a sign on your grave that says, Jesus, keep out, or you roll that stone away, let Jesus get into that place and bring life to something dead. Amen? You open that grave and you say, Jesus, come in. That dead space, you say, God, you become blatantly honest and say, God, I'm not serving you like I should. I don't love you like I should. Place a desire in my heart. Place a longing in my heart for you. And you know what, church? You pick up your Bible every night and you spend time with Jesus. Amen? You keep day one, day two, day three, day four. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. You get to Revelation, you jump back to Genesis. Exodus, Deuteronomy, all of them. James, John, all of them. You just keep reading them over and over and over and over again. Because every time you read it, you wash your word with loyalty and kindness. And you need loyalty and kindness to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen? The kind of loyalty God demands, you cannot do it. God's word has to do it. Amen? So Joseph held death in his arms. He got blood on his hands. He missed Passover. He lost his reputation, but he earned the name in all four Gospels. Joseph fixed his heart on Jesus with no promise of a return. He chose Jesus. What are you choosing this morning? What is heaven all about, church? Heaven is all about Jesus. When we get to Jesus one day, nothing that was important to us except our loyalty to Him will matter. It will not matter where we came from. It will not matter what we studied. It will not matter the car we drove or the house we lived in. What will matter is what we did in secret with our spiritual life with Him. Jesus is coming back for His bride, a bride who is pure in heart. A bride who lifts her voice and says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." A bride who treasures the words of Jesus. A bride who chooses to believe the words of her King despite her circumstances. Jesus is coming back for a bride who is gentle, who is patient, and forbearing. A bride who is deeply in love with Him. A bride who is clothed in humility. Jesus is coming back for a bride who is steadfast and faithful. A bride who is radiant with joy. Jesus is coming back for a bride adorned in righteousness. A bride filled with compassion. A bride who is bold in speech and conviction. A bride who is watchful and prayerful. A bride who is beautiful in her obedience. A bride who is gentle, but yet strong. God is coming back for a bride washed in His word, filled with the oil of His presence. A bride who is merciful and forgiving. God is coming back for a bride who is clothed in hope and anchored in truth. God is coming back for a bride who is prepared and ready. A bride who is longing for the bridegroom. A bride who is devoted and loyal until that day. The last chapter of Revelation ends with, "The Spirit and the bride say, come." The Spirit and the bride say, come. Lord Jesus, forgive us, Father. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us, Father. Where we've made loyalty to you cheap. Where we've made serving you a problem, an issue, an inconvenience at times, Lord. As your church, we come and we say, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us and enter our souls. Our souls stand ready for you, Father. Put an end to everything that is not of you, Father, and bring to light everything that comes from your beautiful throne. Bring us back to our first love, Father. Bring us back to a messy obedience, Father. To a devotion to you in 2026 like we've never had before. May loyalty and kindness, Father, be the necklace we wear. Be the fruit that people see in our lives, Father. Be our portion, Jesus. We answer, I do. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and we answer, I do, I do, I do, I do, Jesus. I do. put an end to everything that's not of you, Father. May 2026 be my best year with you ever, Father. May it be the best year of the church with you, Jesus. May we walk closely to you, Father. May we hear your voice. May we see your hand, Father. May we see you, Father. Lord, we don't want anything. We want you. We want you, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, or maybe you are that prodigal son that was looking at the world and he said, you know what? What this world offers for me is way better than spending time with my Father, than serving in my Father's house, than working on my father's farm. Maybe you're that prodigal son that says, give me my portion now, Lord. I want to walk away from you. I want all the best you can give me, but that's all. If that's you this morning, I want you to pray with me. You know what? Like I said in the beginning, Adam and Eve did not want a relationship with Jesus, but Jesus was not willing to give up his relationship with Adam and Eve. If that's you this morning, I want you to put your right hand on your heart. Lift your other hand to heaven and pray, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm sorry, Lord. I've walked away from you. I've turned my back on you. My loyalty lies with other things, Lord. But today I want to set my heart on you again. I want to set my heart on you. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Take your place on the throne of my heart again. I give you my life. I give you my future. I give you my tomorrow. I give you my today. Forgive me, Father. Cleanse me, Father. Wash me. I want to be new. I want to renew my love with you. 2026, it's you and me, Jesus. I say I do. I say I do. I say I do. Just speak to him in your own words. Just tell him, Lord, I do. I love you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.